Welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast.
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 Your source for the truth in health and fitness. Now here are your podcast personal trainers, Jan and Tyler.
Welcome to True Fitness Academy Podcast. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Keon.
So Keon, how was your night last night?
It was good.
What'd you do?
Went and hung out with some friends, grabbed a beer or two.
Okay.
You know, nothing too highbrow, just a nice little night out. Yeah,
okay.
That's pretty good. How about you?
I found myself at the gym last night, which normally I'm a workout in the morning kind of person, but it was a rough day, so I decided to go work out at night. And was looking at the classes. There was a step. There was a bike class. And then I saw Pilates. Mm-hmm. And it kind of scared me in a way.
Dude, tell.
I didn't really. It was kind of already going. It was about 5 minutes in. And I saw them. And it looked very yoga-esque. And I was confused. And then I was like, well, I can do the class, but I know that you know a lot about Pilates, so I figured that I would ask you what Pilates is and all that stuff, and I was like, huh, this would be great for the podcast. So, thus, we're here, and tell me about Pilates, because I have no idea what it is, and last night I almost got sucked into a class.
Awesome. So, for those of you who don't know me, which I'm guessing is a majority of you, I'm a Stott Pilates instructor. I'm not certified. I'm trained under them.
Stott.
We'll get to that later.
Okay.
We'll start out at the beginning, though. We'll start out with what Pilates, how it started.
What is it?
Well, Pilates is actually the last name of a dude. So it'd be like if in 100 years from now, we were practicing in-laws.
Okay.
So kind of that kind of a thing.
Which is my last name.
Right, so. Just so everyone knows.
Now you can Facebook
them. Oh, no. That's going to be an issue, isn't it?
The ladies will love me.
So, he was born in 1880. And he was, I think he had some viral infection as a child. He was sick. I think he had like polio or something like that. But through his progression, he studied yoga. He studied a lot of the Zen things. He actually studied boxing, too. He trained, he's a German-born person. He trained the security people, like detectives, like, sorry, police force. In England, so he trained them
in self defense. Oh, cool.
So, getting the background of this guy, Pilates is a lot less womanly than a lot of people think. It's a pretty.
It did look very
right
feminine.
Yeah, because the guy's name is Joseph Pilates. The dude made this.
Okay.
So he was alive during World War I, and he was a.
By the way, that's my favorite war, World War.
Oh, yeah.
That's awful. That's awful. Sorry. Continue. In all honesty, as weird as it sounds, I actually do like World War II better because it seems more interesting to me.
But, side note, when I was traveling in Europe, I loved the World War II stuff, no matter how tragic it was awesome.
It's very fascinating stuff. Okay, yeah. So continue. He was.
During World War I, he was living in England, and they put him in a concentration camp.
Because that was World War II.
It was more of an internment camp where they put all the Germans just so there wouldn't be spies hanging out.
Kind of the stuff we did to the Japanese.
Exactly, during World War II.
World War II.
Similar. The funny thing is, so he was teaching people how to stay fit in the camp, and all the people who followed him were 100% healthy by the end of this camp. So by the end of World War I, they were healthy. He moved then to New York, opened up a studio there. He was right next to this ballet studio. And so that's where a lot of the dance influence comes in. That's why some of the moves look like
very
ballet.
Funny.
Right, because he was working with ballerinas. Okay. Despite the fact that it's funny if you read his books and like kind of read his quotes and that kind of thing, he hated working with ballerinas. He thought they were dumb. Like, it was kind of funny.
Personally, we have nothing against ballerinas.
I don't. I have not. I love dance.
I like they're ballerinas. I don't care about the dance. I like ballerinas.
I will agree.
Continue.
So that's kind of where he came from.
Okay.
And so he had six principles that Pilates were based off of.
Okay.
So this is kind of where everything grows from. You had breathing, which was just, you know, your breath, right? Which gets deeper later on as far as exercise movements. It's about coordinating, which is his sixth one. Or no, sorry, that isn't one of his. My bad. So it's about coordinating the movement with the breath so that every breath you take, inhale and exhale, powers the movement.
Okay. Like, I mean, we haven't gone much into other forms of working out and stuff, but like boxing, that's a Absolutely. Huge key of boxing, which is my forte. That's I can see that he picked that up from his boxing background. Okay.
Yeah, that and yoga cool. also plays it. So it's like he found that breath really powered your movements. Then you had centering, which is kind of is a fancy word for using your abdominals. So you have about this whole layering and this matrix of core is what we call it.
Core work stuff.
Yeah, which okay, is a abs. Pop word. Yeah, for your pretty much your rib cage to your pubic bone. Yeah.
Okay. So your abs.
And then you have control. You making sure that you're not wild and everything, which is also from yoga and boxing. Because if you're flailing around in a boxing ring, you're probably going to get knocked out.
Yeah.
Precision, making sure that you're right on point with each thing. Fluidity, making sure the movements flowed so that it kind of protects the joints and that kind of a thing. And then concentration, so the mind-body awareness. So that's his kind of thing.
Huh, that's so fascinating because each of those, like, you can correlate to work like other forms of working out, like boxing and yoga and, even weightlifting. All of that stuff is, that's very interesting. Continue. I know nothing, so I'm learning everything right now, and I'm just like, I've never really thought about that.
Right. Okay. So during the development of Pilates, we, as instructors, really focus on the placement of your spine and your posture. So this is where the new Pilates people versus the old Pilates. There's this battle going on.
Battle royale.
Which is, in my mind, ridiculous. There's people on the East Coast. Typically, they're mostly East Coast people.
Is this a gang war? East Coast versus West Coast? Tupac! Notorious! This is great!
So we have...
Is it going to be a movie?
Hopefully. yes. Hopefully. I'm starring in it. I'll be
awesome.
Feature film. But we have East Coast versus West Coast.
Battle Royale.
Because all it is... It's based off of whether or not you teach the traditional method or what a lot of people call the evolved method... of Pilates. So
thus, what is the first form?
Like, what's the traditional method is what Joseph Pilates taught. The traditionalists believe, and Stott is an evolved course. So my certification is part of the West Coast battle.
Okay.
Pretty much. I mean, you can kind of coast it, despite the fact that they're in Canada, more towards the East Coast. But
it's Canadians?
Well, I'm certified through a Canadian.
I don't know how I feel about this.
America Junior. That's terrible. I'm sorry.
America's hat. And Mexico's our beard.
I've never heard that.
Oh, look at that. Get a map. Look.
I will.
It looks like a hat, and Mexico looks like a beard.
Oh.
Continue.
Yeah. All right.
Visual.
So, East Coast. They teach traditional Pilates. They teach...
I'm totally going to put up a map on our blog. Go to truefitnessacademy.com and I'm putting up a map.
Okay,
that's
good.
Great.
We'll draw on the hat and the beard.
Yeah, that's good. Nice. That's good stuff. Continue. Sorry. I'm totally distracting you.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. So, East Coast. Traditionalists. Joseph Pilates, during his life, guessed... in a lot of his work, because there wasn't a lot of research put out about fitness during his lifetime.
Which is World War I time.
Yeah, he died in 1967.
Okay.
So, from 1880 to 67 was his life. So, he believed in what we call an imprinted spine. So, what that means is pretty much a flat back. So, if you went from the top of your shoulders all the way down, it should be, according to Joseph, would be flat. Would be all one line with no curvature.
No curvature at all.
That's the basis of this argument is that the West Coast people believe in a curved spine in finding this what we call neutral spine, and they believe in an imprinted spine.
So East Coast likes it flat, and West Coast likes their baby got back.
Exactly,
is roughly how it goes.
It goes a little bit deeper than that too, because the East Coast people tried to trademark Pilates back in the day. I think it was in the 70s or 80s sometime.
Okay.
They tried to trademark Pilates, and they their trademark was denied because it had already spread to a, too broad of an area.
Okay.
And so they're all, they also claim that if you change anything about the exercises that Joseph Pilates taught himself, you are no longer teaching Pilates. You're teaching something different. So there's a book that my mom is also an instructor. She passed it on to me. It's called, it's kind of a funny title because of the subtitle. It's called Discovering Pure Classical Pilates. This is where it gets good. Theory and Practice as Joseph Pilates Intended, the Traditional Method versus the Lies for Sale.
So this is written by, it looks like, Peter...
Fiasca.
Fiasca. So you, he probably is a traditionalist.
Yes. And he, the funny thing is, he has a PA, he has a doctorate.
Yeah.
I in my mind, knowing what we know about the body now, how can you... there's just this huge body of research saying that an imprinted spine is not a healthy thing to live in.
To have that natural curve at... kind of the lower back buttocks
exactly.
area is the
and the
way
curve
to go.
You have that S curve. So you start in your head, it kind of curves through your neck, and then curves the opposite way through your upper body, and it kind of curves again
yeah.
through your tail, through your low back and tailbone.
Yeah.
And that the reason we that is the best position for your spine is because it's the most load bearing. So when your body is put like that, your bones can absorb the most force.
Okay.
So that's why we do that. The reason they go, they say, some of the traditionalists say that the imprinted spine is better is because we're constantly stuck in a, our pelvises get stuck, and it's teaching this rocking of the pelvis, which is still incorporated within the evolved Pilates. It's just not the emphasis. We try and have people maintain neutral throughout each exercise.
Okay.
So that's kind of the debate. So it's progressed, and that's where we are today. So we have pretty much six big names for Pilates.
So when you say big names, like these are the people or forms of it?
These are the certifiers.
Certifiers. Okay,
so
kind of like, trying to think of another example. Kind of if you go... This is a really bad example. Like, if you were to go to the soup aisle, you have your Campbell's, you have your meat, like your, but they're all soup, like your heavy, whatever, and
right.
your healthy choice, and they're all soups, but they're different.
Right.
They or each have a chicken noodle, but they kind of are different a little bit.
Right. I would almost make it akin to like a cruise, you know? Like
okay.
If I get on a Princess cruise and you get on a Royal Caribbean cruise, we're both going to the same spots, but our experiences are going to be different.
A little bit different. And are they targeted towards different? Or are they kind of a... They're all...
Yeah, they actually are. I would say yes, they're targeted towards different people.
Okay.
Which, it's subtle.
Subtle.
It's not like the overtone. It's more like...
I'm looking into going in a cruise, but I haven't looked, but it's like carnivals, you know, for your younger people, your Royal Caribbean could be for your senior citizens, like, kind of,
right.
It's not that intense of a jump.
No, it's, yeah.
Okay, it's not that, it's just, they're each a little bit different in what, how they do it.
Okay. Right. So, I'm gonna walk you through the big six.
Big six.
We'll start with the East Coast Pilates people. These ones, I admittedly know less about.
Okay.
I know enough about them to know that I disagree with some of their principal tenets, like what they believe, I don't necessarily agree with.
Okay.
So Basie Pilates, I think that's how you pronounce it. I've never heard anyone say it with confidence because we're all, Tyler and I are located on the West Coast. And even one of my clients from the East Coast was like, I think it's called Basie.
Okay. It's B-A-S-I.
Right. And they were the original creators of the Pilates equipment, which we'll talk about the equipment in a little bit.
Okay.
We'll save that, just bookshelf that. And so they are, most of these are traditional. Then you have Windsor Pilates, which I don't think I spelled right in the notes, so I'll have to go double check that. And they're a little bit more traditional as well. And then we have Romana Pilates. Romana, she studied with Joseph. And so she's, I think she's still alive today.
Like the apprentice to him?
Yeah, exactly. She was one of the ballerinas next door. I might be a little bit off on her exact history, but she's very traditional.
Okay.
And some of the time, like, I've heard interviews with her. She is kind of funny because she talks about, if you look at where Pilates has come from as to how Joseph Pilates taught it and how it's taught now, it's a lot, if you look at the movements now, they're a lot gentler. Joseph would ram you into position. If you couldn't get there, he would move you there, regardless of pain.
Oh, nice.
So, which, it worked, but I'm not sure if that's the most effective way to do it.
Yeah, I personally like to gradually get better and better instead of popped and locked into things.
So Tao doesn't like pop and locking?
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not. America's Best Dance Crew, whatever right. that is.
So that's our East Coast. And then our West Coast, we have Peak Pilates,
okay.
Balanced Body, and we have Stop Pilates. So
that's just from a total outsider, whatever, view of this. It's interesting that the East Coast, all those are names. Mm. Those are all people's names.
Right.
Where the West Coast, I know that Stott is a guy's name, right?
It's a woman's name.
It's a woman's name.
It was Moira. And she has I think she married. It's more a Matharu. I cannot pronounce it for the life of me.
It's a okay, French, but it's a name. It's a name. But Peak and Balance Body, like those, like it's just interesting that the East Coast, they're like, oh, it's ours. They have like that almost weird pride that they don't want to change. But then the West Coast is like, oh well, it's this entity of Pilates, so like it evolves and changes. So it's really not me.
Right.
Like, it's not a personal, like, right. It's a personal connection, like, being the knowledge of it, but it's not like a, oh, you're changing it, that's me. Right. Like, you know, like, this is my Pilates, like, it's my Basie or what a Basie, whatever, Pilates, yeah. like, right. I'm Basie, like, you're changing me, yeah. kind of. That's interesting, like, just as I'm, you're talking about it, like, I never.
Yeah. I've never looked at the
real, like, weird emotional, psychological aspect of the names of.
Right,
the concept of it is
exactly because the
East Coast doesn't like the change, and so it's their name put to it, and then West Coast is like, okay, well, let's evolve it.
Yeah.
It's this entity, like, kind of a thing.
Right,
I know, it's one of those fun things. I just thought up off the top of my head. Continue.
No, yeah, so that's that is an interesting thought, and then within that, it's fun to because with the West Coast, I'm a little bit more familiar with the training. Peak Pilates is a little bit more loose with their form, they would rather you kind of come up with your own ideas on how to teach. And that's where the traditionalists get really angry is because, everyone, blah, 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 should have, you know, the traditional things. And Peak is a little bit more loose. Balanced Body, what they do is they'll teach you the full exercises, and then they say experiment from there. So they teach...
Do your thing, kind of.
Kind of a do your thing. But make sure you know the basics.
Okay.
Once you know the basics, then move on and then evolve it yourself. Learn your own things. And then Stott, it's intense as far as like the training goes because they are very, very specific. They want you to know every precise inhale, exhale. They're very traditional. They're very based in science. They've worked with a lot of really prominent medical people. So they've worked with physical therapists, they've worked with chiropractors, they've worked with sports medicine people to get the movements to do exactly what you want them to do, to get your body into alignment.
Okay.
So if you want to kind of look at it, Stott is more, is traditionally classified as more clinical. Balanced Body and Peak Pilates are classified as a little bit more flowing, a little bit more dancey.
I want to throw out the word spiritual. That's my first real question is that when I see the Pilates, I mean, we really haven't gone into what physically aspect of it is.
Right.
But it looks like yoga meets an ab class. It's, you know, to me.
Right.
So in that, I would think there's no like humming or spiritual aspect to it. It's one of those things like every workout you could make remotely, like to your happy place, quote unquote, kind of.
Right.
Zone out in boxing and whatnot, or right. even when running, people get in that runner's mode and stuff. But there's not a overall, like, spiritual aspect to it?
No, there's okay. not. Which actually kind of leads into my top... Well, before we get into the movements of Pilates, I'm going to dismiss a couple of myths about Pilates. And one of them, one of my top ones is Pilates and yoga are pretty much the same.
Okay. Is that... So they aren't?
No, that's a huge myth. Okay. And the reason for that is, yeah, some of the movements are borrowed from yoga, but yoga focuses on a lot of holding poses. And yes, you will move through the pose, but it's more about mind, body, spirit, and getting yourself better, but it's a holistic kind of a thing, which is good. I love yoga. It's hard for me, but it doesn't produce as a way of fixing your body and improving muscle growth and all those things. It doesn't do that. Yoga is more gentle than Pilates.
Okay.
And then another thing you said is yoga, it looks like yoga meets an ab class, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people think all Pilates is an ab workout. And it's really not. You use your core, your abs, you use your deep transverse abdominals, which are like the deepest layer of your abs. They kind of wrap around your stomach like a girdle. And you use those abdominals all the time. But you also use your other joints. You use your shoulders, you use your hips, you use your knees. So it's very multi-level.
Okay.
So those are the two.
So there's two of your five.
And this one we talked about earlier, but the off air. But it's just for women. Pilates is just for women, right? Because like you were saying when you walked into the gym,
and that's the reason why I wanted to take it was that there was some very attractive girls in there that I figured, well, if they can do it, I can do it, and I was more afraid that I wouldn't be able to do it and look like an idiot in front of them. So, it looked like it was all girls. So I was
right.
That myth I'd love for you to bust.
Right. So let's start with the very basic point of this: is that Pilates was designed by a man, and if he was a boxing instructor, if he taught self defense, and this was his legacy, I think that in itself has something to say. For as far as men doing it. And also, we as guys have a tendency to be really tight all over our bodies and really weak in our core. So by doing this, we lengthen our muscles and strengthen our core at the same time. So despite the fact that Pilates is not just an ab workout, it does work your abs a lot. So core work and joint stabilization, because you've seen this before. Guys getting on the... grabbing like a 50, 70 pound barbell and trying to curl it, and they throw their body around.
It's more of a momentum than an actual movement.
Right, instead of stabilizing to the joint and then moving the muscle kind of a thing. This one's my favorite to talk about. The next myth. So myth number four. Pilates won't get you stronger. So there's I read a lot of online blogs, and one strength coach I follow, he wrote yoga and Pilates, like, these are the things that, you know, blah, 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 it doesn't work, pretty much, because you can't progress beyond the work, and that's just not true. There are always progressions. You can increase the resistance, you can decrease the resistance, so it will make you stronger. It's not going to grow your muscles as like weight training will, but it's going to strengthen you.
Okay, so it's more of a... Would you say it's better for lean muscle growth than for mass muscle growth?
Yeah, because you don't do as many. You do more repetitions at a less intensity with more of a muscle focus. So each exercise is very targeted to specific joints and specific muscles.
Okay. Well, so, okay. I'm going to then go back to another one of your myths where wouldn't that then... I mean, I need to lean out and, you know, whatnot. And I think every guy to some extent wants to lean out.
Mm-hmm.
But most women, that's what they
that's
really...
Thing,
so
right.
Would you... I understand that the myth of it's not just for females.
Right.
I get that. Like, everybody can do anything kind of a concept. But would you kind of say that women, it is... If you had to tell a guy and a girl... Hey, this is the best workout for you. Girls, do Pilates. Guys do that. Like,
right. If I was forced to choose,
if one. You were forced to choose one, would you pick Pilates as the one for guys, or would you even go so much to say that Pilates was the one for girls? I know that this is kind of out of the range of your myths and stuff like
right.
that.
Right. Well, I mean, it's one of those things that I don't believe Pilates on its own is an end-all, be-all exercise. Okay. I don't think that... you can get in ridiculous shape just by doing it, but it's not a good idea to take one component of exercise and just do that. It just
okay,
like,
so it's kind of an added-in.
Exactly. If you just did weight training, you wouldn't be complete. If you just did cardio, you wouldn't be complete. But if you combine cardio, weightlifting, and core and flexibility training, which is the category I would put Pilates in more, uh-huh. because it errs on that side, but it also is strengthening. I think that because we're talking about a lifestyle here, right? That's kind of what we promote on True Fitness Academy. I think that it's a good portion of a lifestyle. There are good things about it in there. I mean, there are some exercises that I think are stupid. Like, there are some exercises I've been taught that don't apply to 90% of people. So I might work with one person who will do the exercise.
Kind of like trigonometry in math.
Right, yeah. It's like most people...
I don't know why they taught me it.
Amen.
Awesome. Amen. I know how to add and subtract.
Right.
And a little bit of math of other stuff.
Right.
No, I actually do know math. I liked math in school. That's besides the point. Continue.
Excellent. So,
myth
number five, we kind of already talked about with your question.
Oh, okay.
Myth number five is Pilates alone can get me lean.
Oh, okay.
Pilates is a portion of your lifestyle, I think. And if your diet is crap, you are not going to get fit. If you don't do resistance training, you're probably not going to get fit. So it's a component. So, those are the big five myths I've had to... those are the most things that people will ask me about Pilates, is like, these are the questions. So, now you know more.
So, let's go through them. What were they again? One more time.
So, Pilates and yoga are pretty much the same?
They are not.
They are not. Pilates is only an ab workout.
Which it is not.
It is not. Pilates is just for women.
Which it is not.
It is not. Pilates won't get you stronger.
It will.
Right. And Pilates alone will get you lean...
Which it won't. Okay.
Cool. So those are the five myths.
Knock those out.
Right.
Ba-boom!
So.
Boom goes the dynamite.
We'll post that video on True Fitness Academy because it's too good. So let's move on a little bit. Because you were asking about the benefits of Pilates, right?
Yeah, why should I do it?
Okay. Like I was saying, let's rewind to why I got into Pilates. Like I said, my mom is an instructor, and I tried to stay away from Pilates for a very long time because I thought, it's just for women. But as I started doing it and taking the classes, I noticed that my injuries that surrounded my rugby playing lessened. I noticed that when I went into a tackle, my shoulder didn't hurt as much, and I noticed that my posture was getting better. I noticed that I had more control, my flexibility was getting better, so that kind of led into it. So, not to be kind of like, we kind of base things around fives for some reason. There are five real reasons that you can do Pilates. It strengthens your muscles while lengthening your muscles. So that's why you don't see a lot of Pilates instructors with huge biceps, you know, because it takes work to get there. I'm focusing on just a few exercises, but it builds a leanness in the muscle because it works on what we call the eccentric contraction. So,
thank you, Dr. Keon.
It's not that big a word. What it is,
as I roll my eyes,
right? It has, whenever you do a movement, you have two phases, right?
Yes.
You have the lifting phase and the lowering phase. So, yes. Picture a bicep curl in your mind. If you have the weight next to you and you curl up, right, that's the concentric contraction in your bicep.
The tightening of the muscle.
Exactly. As you lower it, as it lowers under tension with the weight, that muscle gets longer, thus the eccentric contraction. So whenever a muscle's lengthening under tension, that's what we call an eccentric contraction.
Yes.
And since Pilates is based around that, it lengthens
your muscles.
The muscles.
Okay.
So like we said, increases your flexibility earlier. And then it also, since it focuses on breath so much, it also increases your capacity to breathe. If you ever get out of breath walking upstairs, it can help with that as well.
Okay.
And just kind of control.
Well, you wouldn't classify it as like a good cardio.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you could, like, there's certain aspects of it that you can
right, help. Yeah, we'll talk about the apparatuses, as okay. we like to call them, because we have five ways of doing Pilates, another five,
let's just yeah. call it five.
Right, and then the fifth benefit of Pilates is performance enhancement, because it really can, I've seen a lot of benefits in my own rugby game. I think it can increase
Oh, just kind of like an
exactly, okay. yeah, so, I mean, if you have a strong core in boxing, you can probably move on.
Okay.
Right.
Cool. So then, describe to me what they were doing. When I was walking by this class.
Okay.
What were they doing?
Right.
They had mats out.
Right.
And I saw legs up in the air at times. I saw arms up in the air. I saw, looked like very weird positions.
Right.
What's going on?
So, what you saw was mat Pilates.
Okay.
So, there are five.
Five again.
Again, five apparatuses, or five ways to do Pilates. Way number one, the most popular, is mat Pilates. It's typically taught in group exercise classes, and it focuses on a lot of, this is the one that's most like yoga, because it focuses on just your body weight being able to move itself.
Okay.
So, you'll have a lot, you'll have some similar movements. This is a cat move where you're on all fours and you round up into a almost like a scared cat position and then you round back to neutral. So that's a very similar.
And do you do that like in yoga? They hold it.
Uh-huh.
In Pilates, is it more of a reps? Like you do that?
Exactly.
Like,
you move through. What I tell my classes all the time is that your breathing should time your movements. So how fast you breathe is going to dictate how fast you move.
Okay, with so, Pilates, you just breathe and hold the position. Or no, with yoga, you just hold the position, breathe for however long, in, out, in, out, in, out. Then you change to the...
Right. And sometimes there's yoga that flows. There's a ton of different types of yoga. But yeah, for the most part, you hold a pose, work on focusing into deepening into that pose. While with Pilates, you move through ranges of motion a little bit more.
Okay.
And then... The legs up in the air was more probably core work. Arms up in the air was shoulder stability and that kind of stuff, and working through that.
So that's mostly, would you classify that as a good beginner? Like just to get your feet wet?
No.
What would you then classify as the best beginner?
Because that's
what would be the best
because
beginner?
Most people walk into a mat Pilates class and think that, oh, since there is no equipment, it's going to be the easiest. Some of the mat Pilates workouts that you get are the hardest because... all you're working with is you. You don't have anything helping you. So the place I recommend most people to start is with what we call reformer. This is the second most popular type
what
of Pilates.
What is that?
So picture, a table with its legs cut off. So you have maybe, I don't know, a foot of leg left on the ground. And then you put kind of a bed in the middle of the table, right? It's called the...
So it's padded. A padded table.
A padded table, yeah. And then you add some springs and what we call a foot bar at one end. And so you're lying down. A lot of the reformer exercises, you're lying on your back with your feet on this foot bar. You have straps that hang right by your shoulders. So sometimes your feet are in straps. Sometimes you're lying on your... I know, right? It sounds kind of...
sounds very... dungeon torture-esque.
Right.
It kind of like I should be in the middle
ages
with knights and Merlin and
6 feet swords.
Yeah. 10 feet long swords.
And so that's one of them. And that's a good place to start because it's much more customizable to the body.
Okay. So if you are completely out of shape, they can adjust it to your whatever, or if you're
in shape.
I don't know if he's the most in shape, but like you're Kobe Bryant, you can get thrown in there and
right.
they can make it harder or easier for whatever. Okay.
Right. If this is a touchy subject, But a lot of people who are immensely overweight find it hard to get on a reformer. So what we have then is a Cadillac. What that is about a waist-high bed with upright bars on the sides and a kind of a, this before. And like a thing that goes above as well.
It kind of looks, visualize a, let's go back to the Middle Ages. It looks like a bed that a queen or princess would have that you could just, you just need to add drapes to it.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Right.
Like, where it's like a bed with, like, the four posts really, like, tall on the each corner kind of a thing.
Right, right.
Okay.
And that a lot of people find easier to get onto.
Because it's higher up.
Because it's higher up, and you have a full, your body's fully supported. On the opposite side of that coin, though, it can, like, some of the work on the Cadillac is really, really challenging. Because you can take away resistance to make the movements ridiculously hard. You can add resistance to make it hard, and so that's a great way to go as well. So we've covered three.
Okay, so Pilates is these, once again, five forms of Pilates is based on the equipment that you then use with it.
Right, and so if you could do a one-on-one session, you'll probably do at least two of the five, okay. If not all five. If you do a class, you'll probably do reformer or mat or the chair, which is the next one.
Okay, what's the chair?
The chair is my personal favorite. I own my own because it's the one that sits in our living room right now.
Yes.
And that literally is a chair with two pedals in front of it and springs in the back. Sometimes you'll add little posts on either side, almost like, you know those ab chairs that you kind of see in gyms? They have, like, padding for your arms and back, and it kind of, those arms kind of look the same.
Yeah. It kind of looks like a bucket seat with pedals.
Yeah.
Like, if you sat on it, I mean, I've sat on it, it's kind of fun, and you just kind of put your feet on this thing, and you can just bounce kind of up and down on these pedals. Kind of a weird sit-down thing.
And the good thing about it, the reason I like the chair most
that was the worst description that
yeah
we, you know what we're gonna put up pictures at truefitnessacademy.com of each of these. We'll show you pictures so when you ask a trainer or you go in, you can be like, oh, not scared when you see a chair, because we just made it sound like a torture device.
Yeah.
Continue. Okay. So,
the chair is my personal favorite because
why is that?
It's I would say the most man friendly because it has a lot of things that are upper body oriented. So most of the reformer and Cadillac stuff is lower body and hip mobility. Well, while the chair is really focused on the upper body.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the fifth apparatus we use is there are three barrels we use. You have an arc barrel, you have a ladder barrel, and you have a spine corrector.
Are you sure this guy wasn't around in the medieval ages?
The reason these all look so kind of primitive is because he made these things in an internment camp. So he made like the
he used what he had.
He used what he had, exactly.
So theoretically, an internment camp was a tortured dungeon.
Well, he took this because all of Pilates is based on springs, and it's because he had bed springs available. So he just tore apart beds and created the machinery.
Okay, so you have a barrel. You've got three types of barrels, but barrel is the last form.
Right. And each one is just easy. They help with other exercises. Yeah, they each have their own repertoire of exercises, but the ladder barrel or the arc barrel and the spine corrector, they're really nice for people who are really tight in their hips or pregnant. So they help out with mat exercises a lot.
Okay.
And then the ladder barrel is one of the, I think, the most limited piece of equipment. And you can do a lot of stuff on it, but it's by far my least favorite. What it looks like, you have this kind of curved upright portion with a ladder of wooden rungs on the opposite side. You can do stuff where you go upside down. You can do stuff where you're just sitting on it.
Sounds very acrobatic.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff is gymnast oriented as well.
Oh, okay, so, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, I want to try. Okay. I want to do Pilates. I'm sold. It doesn't hurt that there's attractive girls in the class.
Right.
What would be like some exercises that you think I should kind of know pre-going in?
Right. Good question. There are 4 mat exercises.
Sure there's not 5?
Exactly.
There's 4.
4 this time.
4,
I can give you 5. Actually, it'll be 4 with a warm-up.
4 with a warm-up. Okay, so it's kind of 5.
So it's kind of like 5. 4 exercises that we have a video for. We'll put on truefitnessacademy.com. And I'll talk you through them now. All 4 are going to be lying on your back.
Okay.
And your feet are going to be in what we call tabletop. So tabletop means your feet are, your shins are parallel to the ground.
So kind of like you're doing a crunch?
Yeah, it's like an old school crunch. So your thighs are lifted, so they're right above your hips. And you're making pretty much a 90 degree angle between your thigh and your calf.
With your legs.
With your legs, right. Okay. And then the rest of your body is lying down. So we're working in neutral. And a neutral spine, again, is that little natural curve that you could almost feel like a grape under your back.
Okay.
That's the feeling of a neutral spine. You're drawing in your belly button. So feel like, you ever have that feeling of putting on jeans that are too tight?
All the time.
So you want to have that light feeling so that we're actively using our core.
Okay.
And then you want to have your shoulders relaxed into your back so you're not shrugging your up into your ears.
That will be the hardest thing for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
because Tyler, having a boxing background,
I'm very shoulder tense.
Right. So the first one we'll do is called the single leg stretch.
Is this the warm-up kind of a
No, we're going right into the exercises. The warm-up is going to be on the
We'll just show video. It on the video. What's it called?
The warm-up?
Yeah.
The warm-up is just a warm-up.
Oh, it's just a warm-up?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. They're,
it's kind of
I like using Stott's standard warm-up.
Okay.
I think it works best for everyone. It kind of mobilizes
It's kind of a little
everything.
Bit of everything. Okay. Yeah. You get, just a warm-up.
Exactly. Because in Stott, we have 5 basic principles. We have breath control, pelvic placement, ribcage placement, shoulder girdle placement, and cervical placement with your
head.
Which
is your head.
Right. So we kind of move through everything. So it warms up all 5 points of that.
Okay, so it's just a warm-up. Okay, I wasn't sure if there was like a name for it. Okay, so exercise number 1.
The single leg stretch.
Single leg stretch.
So your legs are in tabletop. Your spine is in neutral. If you start feeling this in your lower back, go into what we call the imprinted spine.
And what is that?
So that's the what traditionalists call the flat back. Or it's where you feel like if you put your hands on your thumbs on your rib cage and then let your pinkies drop, most people will feel a little bit of a bone there. That's what we call the ASIS. Feel like those little bones on your pinkies get closer to your rib cage, and then you'll have no space between your back and the floor. So if you aren't confident in your abdominal strength, if you haven't done anything in a very long time, go with the imprint. It's safer. It's not what we want eventually. Because remember we talked about the traditionalists versus, and they always taught the imprinted spine. So we're going to start you in the imprint because it's easier, and then move you to neutral.
That was a whole lot of information.
Okay.
We'll show that on the video.
Exactly.
Go to truefitnessacademy.com and watch this video. So
single leg stretch.
We're doing a
what
single
you're
leg stretch.
One leg is going to stay bent at 90 degrees, and you're going to shoot the other leg out long. Like you're trying to touch the opposite side of the wall, and then you're going to take a quick inhale through your nose, and then switch legs. So okay. The opposite leg is going to go out, and the leg that was straight comes bent. And you switch.
Switch back and forth. Okay.
Just like that. Just a little easy bending and stretching of the legs. So they move in tandem or kind of in concert with one another. So it's not you shoot one out, bring it in, then the other one, you shoot one out as the other one's bending towards.
Almost in a way like pedaling a bike on your back.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bicycle move. Your hands, this is the most confusing part for most people. The hand that's the same side as the leg coming in. So if my left knee is coming towards my body, my left hand is going to touch my ankle, and my right hand is going to touch that knee, that same knee, that left knee. Then we're going to switch. So the right knee comes in as the left leg goes out, and your right hand is going to touch the right ankle, and the left hand is going to touch the right knee.
Okay. Watch the video. That's the best way to say it.
So pretty much that is the most confusing part. If that confuses you, just put your hands to your side. That's okay.
Do the leg movement.
Right. Because your upper body is flexed up too. So we're in a little bit of a crunch. the entire time as well. The second move, just because I think we should move on, is called the... It's called obliques.
Obliques, okay.
What it is, it's pretty much a standard oblique movement. A lot of people are very familiar with this. The legs are the same as the single leg stretch. So one knee's coming in as the other leg goes out, and they move in tandem. This time, though, your hands are going to be behind your head. You're flexed up. And what you're going to do is you're going to rotate through your ribcage and try and bring the opposite elbow towards the knee. You're not going to... What a lot of people do wrong with this one is they try and crunch themselves up and force that opposite elbow to their knee. It might not get there. For most people, it doesn't get there. So just rotate gently and then switch. Just the same breathing pattern, quick breath in, long exhale. So just a little sniff and then a long exhale.
All right. What's number three?
Number three is my personal favorite. It's really difficult, but as you get strong, as you get, I know.
Can't wait. I'm going to be the person that is showing all this stuff on the video. And right. I've never done it. We're going to do the video right after we wrap this thing up. And oh, I'm...
He's very excited.
Getting excited, people.
So this one's called the double leg stretch. So as with the single leg stretch, one leg was going out at a time, right? With a double leg stretch, you start in tabletop, and then both legs go out, right? So your starting position is you're flexed up with your upper body, and your hands are resting on your knees in tabletop. Your knees extend, so you go shoot your legs out, okay? As you do that, your arms are going to whiz past your ears like you're taking off a hat. Right, so your arms are extended above your head, and your legs are shooting long. Right, then as your knees come back towards tabletop, your arms are gonna sweep around your body like you're making a snow angel, and then come back to resting on your knees.
That kind, like, from your description right there, it kind of looks like doing the breaststroke on your back. I don't know if you were much of a swimmer.
Yeah, no, it actually is.
But it looks like doing the breaststroke on your back with a little bit of different leg movement.
Exactly. So your legs aren't going to open up. Don't think of it as... I mean, you might be able to think of it as breaststroke, but don't call it breaststroke because we have other exercises
that are
actually called breaststroke.
Oh, okay.
So...
I'm an advanced learner.
Right. Number four is going to be the scissor. So with this one, instead of starting with your legs in tabletop, we're going to shoot your legs towards the ceiling. So you're on your back still.
So now I look like a giant L?
Pretty much. Okay. Yeah. You're going to flex up with your upper body, grab behind one knee as the other leg goes down to the floor long. Okay? So you're going to scissor your legs.
I've seen you do this while you watch TV.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this will be entertaining for everybody to watch.
Yeah. So if you're like Tyler and you have tight hamstrings... What you can do is bend at the knee.
Which I will be doing.
Right. If you have the flexibility, straighten your legs all the way. What you don't want to do is the knee that's close that your hands are resting on, you don't want to pull it towards your body and jerk, because that can hurt.
Okay,
so we don't want to do that.
So it wants to flow.
Exactly.
Okay.
So there are the four exercises. Before we close, I wanted to, if you're really interested in looking at getting involved in Pilates, kind of want to give you some tips to look for as far as trainers.
Okay.
So
Pilates trainers.
Pilates trainers.
Okay.
So first, the first thing you want to look for is, are they insured? Same with personal trainers. We'll talk about personal trainers later. But are they insured? That's number one. Because if they hurt you, you don't want to have to sue them. You want insurance to cover all of your stuff. Then, who are they certified through? In my opinion, the best two certifications you can get are Stop Pilates and Balanced Body.
Why?
Mainly because their focus is on starting slow and then progressing you. So, this might frustrate some of you because you're not going to get the best workout out of your life on day one. We're going to analyze you first and make sure that we're working you out in a safe way. And then we're going to make it hard.
Okay.
So those are the two reasons. If you see someone with a Peak Pilates certification or a Polestar certification, I've worked with them. I worked with people who have those certifications, and they're all right. I just don't think there's as deep of a knowledge base with those two. So those are the first things.
This might sound really, really dumb, but would it almost be okay to start with them? Like, let's say you're at a gym and all they have is a Peak Pilates person.
Right.
All right, I'll start with them, but knowing that 3 months in, I probably should look for another person.
Maybe not. There is a possibility that someone who has peak or pole star as their certification could be very good, but there's no guarantee. With Stott and Balance Body, the testing and the courses are so in depth that I think someone who is trained by Stott or trained with Balance Body, there's a very low likelihood of them being.
What is the training? I mean, since we're talking about it a little bit, like, right. what you're Stott trained, right. So like, how long did that take you, just the classes? I know you've been practicing it for years and years.
Right.
But like, from day one training to the end of your certification to right. what you are at theoretically right now, because yeah. I know that there's still more.
Yeah, I'm finishing up my advanced MAT certification. And then, my advanced MAT training, and then I'm going to take my full test out. So the training involves small group classes that are 5 to 7 hours in length, 4 days worth of training. So we usually go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's about a 20-hour day or 20-hour weekend, depending on the cert. So with MAT Pilates, that was one weekend. With Reformer, I think, just to get my intermediate, I think that was 3 weekends.
Weekends of 20 hours?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, and then Advanced MAT was another 20 hours. So, and then we have Cadillac training. We have, Cadillac, the chair and the barrel, they combine into one class. So, because a lot of the exercises are repeated just on the barrels. Exactly. It's so for people who have tight hip flexors, this is how you use the barrels.
Okay.
So, and then we have special populations courses where we have to learn about people who have injuries, breast implants, people who have.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Because people who have breast implants can't do a lot of the, you have to work with around them because usually they're tender in certain positions and they press uncomfortably.
Huh.
Right.
I would have thought about that.
Right.
Okay.
So that's the, it's pretty intensive. And then at the end of all that, you have, from the last day of your class, of your last class, you have 6 months to take the certification course test, which is part written, part multiple choice. And then it's practical. So you, for the full test out, it's 2.5 hours of testing, of practical testing following an hour of written. So you have to, it's pretty intense.
So basically it's like a 4-hour test.
Three and a half. Yeah, four. I mean, you don't go straight from written to, but you have to do it within the same week.
Okay, wow.
So it's an intense course. So that's why I recommend them, just because it's so exhausting that, I mean, you have to be serious about it to do it.
Okay.
So, one little last word about certifications and people to look for. Be careful about MAT Pilates certification people, because there are people who are just certified to do MAT. If they're not certified by Stott or Balance Body or Peak, because there are these courses that are just one weekend, and by the end of that one weekend, you are certified to teach Pilates, which is dangerous beyond all reason.
So theoretically, you know, Mary that's listening to us right now could take the class and then teach, even though she has no actual personal trainer. You don't have to have a cert of...
Nope. You get certified
just
through...
Just anybody off the street can go in, get certified as it, and move on.
Exactly. Oh. Fly-by-night Pilates school, and then within 1 week, you can go teach MAT classes. And...
That's interesting.
That's foolish.
Doesn't sound good.
Right. So if you're taking a group MAT class, just be careful, because you're not going to have the ability to go up to the teacher and say, hey, who are you certified through? You know, just go take the class, feel it out. If it doesn't feel comfortable, if it feels like something's not right, try it one more time. See if that's a consistency. And then if it doesn't work for you, ditch it.
Worst case scenario is most gyms have a log, or they have up on a wall what their personal trainers are certified as.
Right.
So it's, you don't even have to go up and talk to somebody about it. You can see it or go to whoever sold you the personal training. Like, they always are trying to sell you personal training stuff. Go to that person and be like, hey, what are the certs of your personal trainers? And they should have them. If they don't, you might want to rethink your gym.
Right.
But that's on a completely side note.
What?
So you don't have to have that conversation with the personal trainer.
Like, if you feel uncomfortable about it.
You know, I don't. I mean, I personally don't want to go up to the lady and be like, "So, what certs do you have? Why should I take your class?" Like, that's not really what needs to be done.
Cool.
What else is?
That seems to be a pretty good, for me, introduction.
Is just
to Pilates.
When you're looking at instructors, just kind of make sure that they have a cert that's not the weekend mat Pilates.
Right. And I mean, for me, also, if they teach you to do everything with an imprinted spine, that's also worrisome to me. So if they're...
An imprint is the flat.
Imprint is flat back. Yeah, okay, exactly. Flat back. So if they... I mean, I don't want to...
You don't want to start a gang war between
exactly,
the
but I think it's stupid just to teach a flat back. It's not scientific. It's not paying attention. It's like saying, you know what? We've been building buildings with straw and mud for so long. It's not a true building
unless it's straw and mud.
You know what? Those concrete buildings? Nope. That's not a building. And it's like, no,
You progress.
Exactly.
You
it's like...
evolve and whatnot.
Yeah, so...
Okay. So, well, I mean, I feel a lot more comfortable getting into that class now.
Yeah, go take... My overall advice is just take it. Like, if you listen to this all the way through and you're still confused about Pilates...
Shoot us an email first.
Shoot me an email because I thought...
Shoot us an email. podcast@truefitnessacademy.com. We'll answer you. Or we'll answer the question next week or the next day or whatnot.
Right. And just go take a class. Just see what it's like.
Just try it.
Some people love it. Some people don't. So.
Worst case scenario, my favorite thing to do is be the back corner. And if you don't like it, I have to go to the bathroom and leave.
And never come back. Right. I've only done that once. I mean, if you're a guy, it's a great place to... I mean, there's motivation.
There's hot ladies.
Right.
I'm going to be the chauvinist, I think, for doubt. 30 seconds. There were some hot ladies. And, I mean, there's one of my favorite older ladies at the gym was there, too. Like, there's all different types of people go to it, but
right.
It's a good thing. Awesome. I mean, I'm pretty much sold. I get to now we're going to now go videotape this for you guys, so I'm get ready for some fun laughs on seeing how flexible I am. But, yeah, so awesome. Thanks for joining us today. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about goals, how to make them, how to hit them, how to just goals, how to just make your life the way you want it and all that fun stuff. So come back tomorrow. We'll be talking about goals.
We're leaving you with a quote by Joseph Pilates himself. Take this, think about it, and
meditate on it,
if you will. Joseph Pilates once said, "Physical fitness is the first requisite of happiness." Have a great day.